Chapter 8. When I reached the small food service counter in the contractor district, a human was there who matched the image Tapan had sent to my feed. As I sat down at the table, he looked up at me, his expression nervous, sweat beading on his pale forehead. I said Tapan couldn't come, and sent his feed the brief recording Tapan had made with her interface. It was her standing next to me in the room at the hostel, holding my arm and explaining that the files could be given to me. Wow, I looked uncomfortable. His gaze went inward as he reviewed the recording, then his body relaxed a little. He slid a memory clip over to me. I took it and checked the cameras. Nothing. No potential threats, no one showing interest in us. The counter served drinks with a lot of bubbles in them and fried protein in the shape of water fauna and flora. Everyone else was busy eating or talking. There was no one suspicious in the corridor or mall area outside, no one watching, no one waiting. This was not a trap. The human said uncertainly,
"Should we order something? To make it look like we're not, you know."
I told him, "No one's watching, you can leave," and pushed to my feet. I had to get back to the port. If this wasn't a trap, the real trap was somewhere else. On the way back to the dock, I checked the schedule. The shuttle was now listed as delayed. As I reached the embarkation area, I was reviewing the security recording from the time Tapan had boarded the shuttle. On visual, I spotted the sex bot coming toward me from the far end of the walkway. I had gotten to the point in the recording where two humans with Port Authority identification had stopped the shuttle's departure and removed Tapan. Art slid out of the shuttle and back into my feed. It said, "If I had my armed drones, this would be easier." When the sex bot reached me, I said, "Where is she?"
"In Tlacy's private shuttle. I'll show you."
I followed it along the walkway, then down the ramp that split off toward the private shuttle docks. Art said, "Why is it showing you where your human is?" I said, "Because Tlacy doesn't want Tapan, she wants me." Art was quiet as we went past the private shuttle slots toward the bigger, more expensive section at the end. Then it said, "Retrieve your human, and make Tlacy regret this." We stopped in front of the access to a shuttle hatch. No one was outside, and most of the activity was down toward the other end of the docks. The sex bot turned to face me. It opened its hand, and I recognized the small object. It was a combat override module. It said,
"They won't allow you aboard unless you let me install this."
In my feed, Art said, "Ah." They wanted us in the shuttle so that they could dispose of the bodies, or Tapan's body. Me, they obviously intended to keep. A combat override module contains code that will take over my system, overriding the governor module and the company factory set protocols, and placing me under the direct verbal or comm control of whoever the module designates. This was how Greychris took over Deltfall's sec units and tried to take over me. I said, "If I accept that, will they release my client?" In the feed, the sex bot whispered,
"You know they won't."
Aloud, it said,
"Yes."
I turned and let it insert the module into my data port, the data port that Art had disconnected when it altered my configuration. With my governor module hacked, it had been the only way left to assert control over me, so disabling it had been a priority. The module clicked into place, and I had a moment of purely irrational fear. Art must have picked up on it because it said,
"Please, my med system makes no mistakes."
Nothing happened, and from the security camera I had control of, I saw that I managed to keep the relief out of my expression. The sexbot's expression was unit standard neutral, and I followed it into the shuttle. A human stood just inside the lock, armed, his eyes flicking nervously between me and the sexbot. He said,
"Is it under control?"
"Yes,"
the sexbot said. He stepped back and his jaw moved as he spoke in his feed. I couldn't hack anything without the sexbot knowing, so I waited. I kept my expression blank. I had no way of knowing what the combat override module was supposed to make me do, but I was assuming it would put me under Tlacy's control. I suspected the humans and the sexbot weren't sure what the outward effect would be. Once we were through the lock, it cycled shut and a launch warning went through the feed, ending in an audible beep from the comm system. Tlacy must have bribed someone for immediate clearance because there was a clunk as the lock disengaged, and then the shuttle slid out of its slot.
I have you on my scan, Art said.
The human led the way through the shuttle. It was a large model, and the access corridor went past hatchways to cabins and the engineering section before ending in a big compartment. There was cushioned bench seating against the walls and acceleration chairs to the front, near the hatch that must lead to the forward part of the ship. There were six unknown humans in the room, four armed and two unarmed crew. One of the armed humans held Tapan by the shoulder and had a projectile weapon pressed to her head. Tlacy stood up from a chair and looked me over with a smile. She said,
"Take little Tapan to a cabin. I'll want to talk to her later about her work."
Tapan's eyes were wide and frightened. I kept my expression blank. She tried to say,
"Eden, I'm sorry, I'm sorry."
But the guard pulled her through another hatchway and down a corridor. I didn't react, since I wanted her out of the line of fire. I listened for the hatch to close, then focused on Tlacy. She strolled toward me, thoughtful now. I guess the triumphant smile had been for Tapan's benefit. The two other unarmed humans were watching with nervous curiosity. The armed guards still looked cautious. To the sexbot, Tlacy said,
"You really think this is one of the units from the Ganaka Pit accident?"
The sexbot started to reply, and I said, "But we all know that wasn't an accident, don't we?" Now I had everybody's attention. I kept my gaze straight ahead, a good sec unit still under the control of the combat override module. Tlacy stared at me. Then her eyes narrowed.
"Who am I talking to?"
That was almost funny. "You think I'm a puppet? You know that's not the way we work." Tlacy was beginning to be afraid.
"Who sent you?"
I lowered my head to meet her gaze. "I came for my client." Tlacy's jaw moved as she gave a command in the feed, and the sexbot started to shift sideways into a combat position. Art said, "The shuttle is clear of the port and moving into an orbit around the moon. Do you have a moment to let me in?" I said, "Be fast, and let Art in." I had the sensation again, my head shoved underwater, being temporarily incapacitated as Art used me as a bridge to reach the bot controlling the shuttle. It was quick, but the sexbot had time to punch me in the jaw. Tlacy must have ordered that. It wasn't the way a unit would attack another unit. It hurt, but only in the way that would piss me off. When I didn't react immediately, Tlacy relaxed and grinned.
"I like a mouthy bot. This is going to be interesting."
Art was in the shuttle's systems, and I was clear. I caught the sexbot's arm and flung it across the room toward the three armed guards. One went down, one stumbled into a chair, the third started to lift his weapon. I knocked Tlacy out of my way and stepped on the sexbot as I went over it, thumping it back down to the deck. I grabbed the muzzle of the energy weapon and shoved it upright just as he fired. The discharge struck the curved ceiling. I ripped it out of his grasp, dislocating his shoulder and at least three fingers, and slammed his head down on the console. The guard who had already fallen to the deck had a projectile weapon, and I felt two impacts, one to my side and one to my thigh. Now that's the kind of attack that actually hurts. I extended my right arm and fired my inbuilt energy weapon, catching him with two bolts in the chest. I stepped sideways to avoid an energy weapon blast from the guard who had fallen into the chair, and my third shot hit him in the shoulder. I had the blasts set to narrow, and they created deep burn wounds that usually incapacitated humans rapidly with shock and pain and, you know, having holes burned into their chest cavities. I pivoted and threw the captured gun as a distraction. The first unarmed human was on the deck, a smoking wound in her back. The guard who had missed me had shot her. The second flung herself across the compartment to try to grab a fallen projectile weapon, so I shot her in the shoulder and the leg. The sex bot rolled to its feet and charged me. I caught it, went down on my back, and flung it off and over my head. I twisted around and up to my knees, but couldn't get all the way up due to the wound in my right thigh. The sex bot shoved upright, and I grabbed its leg and popped the knee out of the socket. It went down, and I took out its left shoulder joint. Slamming it down to the deck, I turned to see Tlacy reaching for one of the fallen weapons. I said, "Touch that weapon, and I'll take it away from you and insert it into your ribcage." She froze. She was panting from fear, eyes staring. I said, "Tell your sex bot to stop fighting." It was still struggling to get up, and it was just going to hurt itself further, especially if it made me mad again. Tlacy straightened slowly, her jaw working, and the sex bot relaxed. I said, "Art, cut off Tlacy's feed."
"Done," Art said.
Tlacy winced as her feed went down. I told Tlacy, "Give the sex bot a verbal command to obey me until further notice. Try to give it any other command, and I'll rip your tongue out." Tlacy huffed out a breath, then said,
"Unit, obey the crazy rogue sec unit until further notice."
To me, she said, "You need to get better threats." I put a hand on the nearest chair seat and shoved myself to my feet. "I don't make threats. I'm just telling you what I'm going to do." Her jaw hardened. Two of the humans in the room had stopped breathing. The unarmed one that the guard had shot while aiming for me, and the first one I had shot. Tlacy hadn't noticed. I looked down at the sex bot, which looked up at me. "Stay down," I said. It sent me an acknowledgement. I stepped over it, grabbed Tlacy's arm, and dragged her down the corridor to the cabin where her guard had taken Tapan. She said quickly,
"So you're a free agent, right? I can give you a job, whatever you want."
I thought, "You don't have anything I want."
I said, "All you had to do was give them the fucking files, and none of us would be in this situation."
The look she threw back at me was startled, incredulous. I didn't sound like her idea of a sec unit, rogue or otherwise, I guess. Humans should really do more research. There were operating manuals that would have warned her not to fuck with us. Tlacy stopped at a closed latch, said,
"Bassam, it's me,"
and hit the release. The door slid up. Tapan was half sprawled across the bunk on the far wall, blood spreading across the flower pattern on her t-shirt, drops of it splashed on the brown skin of the bare arm pressed against the wound in her side. Her raspy breath sounded loud in the small cabin. The bodyguard stared at us, eyes wide.
"He panicked when he heard the shots," Tlacy gasped. "You can't..."
"Oh yeah, I could." I swung Tlacy to shield me as the bodyguard brought up his weapon. Multiple shots hit her back, but I'd already crushed her windpipe. I took another projectile in the chest as I crossed the cabin, threw him against the wall, jammed my arm up under his chin, and triggered my energy weapon. I stepped back and let his body drop. I turned away from it and leaned over to Pon. I said stupidly, "It's me." Her eyes were shut and she was breathing through gritted teeth. I clamped my hand over the wound to stop the bleeding and said,
"Art, help."
Art said, "I've been guiding the shuttle toward the transit ring, where I can dock it with myself. ETA is 17 minutes. Med system is prepping for your arrival." I sank down beside Tapan. She was just conscious enough to reach over and squeeze my hand. I pulled the useless combat override module out of the back of my neck and tossed it away. I had made a huge mistake, which seemed blindingly obvious in hindsight. I had known the invitation to exchange the signing bonus for the files was a trap from the beginning, and I should have convinced Rami and the others not to return to Ravi Hyrule. The augmented human security consultant I was pretending to be would have done that. I was used to taking orders from humans and trying to mitigate whatever damage their stupid ideas did to them, but I had wanted to work with a group again. I had enjoyed how they had listened to me. I had put my need to get to Ravi Hyrule above the safety of my clients. I was just as shit at being a security consultant as any human.